Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. I take your questions. You emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com. What does it mean to live a good life? What are the rules for immigration from one state to the other? China has a new weapon that I'm going to tell you all about. And finally, should Trump run in 2024? We go through all of that and more. It's Monday. I take your questions that you've emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank all of you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. When you support us at charliekirk.com/support and you get behind the work that we're doing, you allow us to succeed, to thrive, and to grow. I want to thank some of our supporters by name for getting behind us. Sarah from Minnesota supports us monthly. Thank you. Georgie from New York supports us. Thank you. And Deborah, supporting us from California at charliekirk.com/support. She says, I thank you for all of your hard work. The work you and your team do is a blessing for all of us. My contribution is very small, but I hope it helps. Thank you for sharing your knowledge and information. Please keep doing what you are doing. God bless you. Well, Deborah, thank you and God bless you. When you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you make our work and the pursuit of truth possible. God bless you. Lot to do. It's Monday. We start strong. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Happy Monday. Hope things are going well for you. What a beautiful country we live in. Be cheerful, be optimistic that we live in the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. And if you are upset like I am that we are currently not in control of certain political chambers, then let's work harder, commit ourselves to reforming our elections, and really dedicate ourselves to educating and persuading voters, friends, neighbors, and young people every single day. That's the work we're doing at Turning Point USA. That's the work we're doing here on the Charlie Kirk Show. We're not going to just go complain about everything that's wrong. We'll obviously spot and identify things that are not exactly trending in the right direction. I think the Equality Act would be a good example of that. But we're also going to talk about solutions. We're going to elevate the good guys and be unafraid to do it with good cheer. So this last weekend, President Trump spoke at CPAC. We got a lot of emails from you at freedom@charliekirk.com asking us, what are your thoughts on that? Well, we did an entire episode on that, and we dropped it yesterday, so I will direct you to go check that out. So I want to take your questions that you asked outside of that speech that you emailed us alongside your subscription to The Charlie Kirk Show, as well as leaving a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, freedom@charliekirk.com. So let's get right into it. Victor from New Mexico. Actually, I'll be in New Mexico next week at Steve Smotherman's church, Legacy Church. They do a great job. He says, Charlie, what do you think about people leaving blue states to red states? Don't you think it's somewhat hypocritical if they leave a blue state to a red state and continue to vote the way they used to? It's a phenomenal question, and congratulations, you win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. In fact, I was doing some thinking about this over the weekend. I was in Florida the last couple of weeks. Ron DeSantis is a friend of mine, and Ron DeSantis might be America's greatest governor. I'm going to use Florida as an example because it's such a phenomenal test case of this theory, which is that the states have their own freedom, ability, and quite honestly, a prerogative to govern in the best interest of their citizens, which by definition will then mean there's a diversity amongst the states, that every state will be able to have different results, different successes, and different failures. Now, what the Chinese coronavirus did is it presented an opportunity for states to all deal with something equally. It was an opportunity for states to be measured one against the other with how they dealt with an unexpected and vicious virus. So the right thing to lock down yourself endlessly, close schools. Every state handled it a little bit differently. Some states handled it very well, like Florida and South Dakota. Some states handled it okay, not great, like Arizona and Georgia. Some states handled it terribly, like Illinois, New York, and California. And the through line amongst the terrible states is they're all Democrat. The through line between the okay to the excellent states is that they have Republican conservative leaders. And one thing that I find to be very interesting, and generally it's a promising trend, but I have some issue with it, and I'll tell you about that issue, is how Democrats or people that live in Democrat states are fleeing the blue states for prosperous red states. You're seeing this mostly from Northeast and Midwest states to what's called the Sun Belt. The Sun Belt states are Arizona, Texas, and Florida in particular. Those are the three hottest real estate markets in the country. Tampa, Florida, Austin, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona. I spend a lot of time in Phoenix, and I spend a lot of time in Tampa, Florida, and Miami, Florida, and Southern Florida in general. And I could just tell you, spending the last couple of weeks in Florida, people are happy. There is an energy. There is a vibrancy. There is an optimism in the people and the citizenry of Florida that better days are ahead. In fact, better days might already be there. New businesses are popping up. Capital is flowing in. I walked the streets of Miami. I walked the streets of Naples. I walked the streets of Tampa. I walked the streets of Orlando. I even walked the streets of Daytona Beach. I saw almost every single city in Florida except Jacksonville and Tallahassee. And I could tell you that the DeSantis model is working. And whether or not Democrats, whether or not Fauci wants to admit that, people are voting with their feet. They're voting using outward migration. So I have a couple of rules when it comes to moving from one state to the other. And I have these rules as someone who did move from one state to the other. I moved from Illinois to Florida, my beloved state of Illinois. I love Illinois. I don't love the winters, but I love the people. I love the culture. I love the work ethic. It's changing rapidly. The Illinois State Board of Education, the radical socialist communist takeover of the state, the property tax are the highest in the country. 6% property tax on a commercial piece of property, 3% for most residential, not to mention the 5% income tax and the 11% sales tax if you live in Cook County. Unbelievably corrupt, outward migration of people, capital. I wish I could have stayed in Illinois longer. I wish it could work because I think there was something really special about the geographic location of Illinois, about the history of Illinois. However, I said enough is enough and I moved to Florida. So these rules, I think, should be universal. And it starts with this principle. When you move from a state or even a country like Venezuela, Argentina, from one to the other, I believe and I will argue that you have a moral obligation to not change the place you migrate to. So here are three things that I came up with over the weekend as I was thinking about this, and I was driving through the streets of Phoenix this last weekend, looking at the moving trucks, talking to realtors. They say that prices are just going up dramatically of housing, which is an indication that people are moving to Phoenix, therefore the limited supply of housing makes the prices go up. Simple supply and demand. So I thought of these three rules, and the question is just perfect from my friend from New Mexico. Number one, people must remember that you move here for a reason. Moving is not easy. Moving is not something people do lightly. Moving typically is because you are not satisfied in your current condition or something looks better on the other side. You don't just move for fun. Some people I do when you're young, but if you have a family and you're moving, it's a very involved activity. Take selling a house, packaging up all your stuff, finding a new house, finding new friends, finding a new school. And so if you have moved from one state to the other, and all of a sudden you don't realize that politics might be involved in your decision, you're in for a wake-up call. And if you see people moving into your neighborhood from California, you should tell them and remind them gently, kindly, these three rules. Number two, this is something that everyone who moves from one state to the other should hear. The change that you think you want to bring to the state of Arizona, the change that you think you want to bring to the state of Georgia, the change that you think you want to bring to Texas is probably worse than what you're living through right now in the state of Arizona, Texas, and Georgia, the new state you've moved to. Whatever concocted idea that you have, you probably don't know what you're talking about. And the people that lived here before you did a good job of developing and creating something worthy of you moving your family to it. Therefore, have the humility to probably adopt the political practice of whatever existed before you. Yes, I am making the argument that if you come into a state and it's a predominantly Republican state and you like the policies and you like the schools and you like the safety and you like the freedom, and then all of a sudden you just say, you know what? But I think they need a little bit more socialism. I think they need a little bit more equity in the schools. Time out. You don't know what you're talking about. Your movement embodies that. Now, this works both ways. Some people move to states admiring those policies and then want to continue to support them. They're doing the moral thing. But to all of a sudden think that you have all the answers for a state that generally works well enough for you to migrate out of the other one to that one, humble yourself. Reason number three. And this is an idea that we don't talk about enough. You will impose your viewpoints on people that didn't move or can't move. So you will, by definition, punish the native citizens of Arizona, Texas, or Georgia, or Florida, which they're all going through changes right now. Florida going in the right direction, Texas, Arizona, and Georgia going in the wrong direction. Of people that grew up in that state, want to see it preserved, and all of a sudden your immigration to that state or to America as a country will all of a sudden uproot and change a lifestyle that they were counting on, that they were betting on. And so by you imposing your views, you will by definition disenfranchise the people that created the state or the country that you so desired to move to. This is especially true when we bring in so many immigrants from across the world that all of a sudden want to vote to change the country they immigrate to. A great example of this is Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar was warmly received by the citizens of America. Ilhan Omar is a black Somali Muslim. She's a congresswoman. I've never heard her say a positive thing about America. I'm sure she has. But the point is not whether I can dig up a soundbite of Ilhan Omar saying something positive about America. The point is that it's not her primary argument. Her primary argument is complaining about whatever structural inequities or inequalities that she thinks exists in America. So that's the thing I know her for. And she's a black Muslim immigrant. And she wants to come here to tell us everything that's wrong with our country. Then we should say, hold on. You should first and foremost come from a position of gratitude and learning, not ingratitude and condescension. And the same, we're seeing this happen all across the country. So I spend a lot of time in Arizona. Our offices are headquartered in Phoenix, and we have a lot of listeners here in Phoenix. Email me, by the way, if you're in Arizona. By the way, I'm on every single day at 10 o'clock on AM 960, The Patriot, on radio, if you ever find yourself in the car in Phoenix. Arizona's quickly changing. Arizona just legalized marijuana, which I think is a terrible decision, and I'm happy to do an entire podcast on the conservative case against the legalization of marijuana, and it might surprise you. I know we have a lot of libertarian listeners. And by the way, if you disagree with that, please email me and send me your literature. I'm open to being convinced. I didn't always have this opinion, and I love disagreement. I really do. So if you ever disagree with me, please email me. I'd love to hear from you. But Arizona just legalized weed. They just raised taxes. They have all these changes happening rapidly. And I can't help think to myself, The people that moved here from California fleeing the high taxes, fleeing the crime, fleeing the homelessness, fleeing the open drug usage, fleeing the public defecation, fleeing the transgender curriculum, all of a sudden coming here and saying, you know what, let's get a little bit of California in this place. And that's why I established those three rules. And so if you are a migrant, either from another country or to America or from one state to the other, these are three rules that I think every single person should follow. You moved here for a reason. Your change is probably going to screw up the place that you're moving to, because the people that were there before you have a pretty good idea of what works. And by trying to change it, your imposition of those values will then punish the people that didn't move or can't move. These are very important things that I think we should establish and communicate. So I am seeing one of the most dramatic migrations in my lifetime, and probably in American history, from one state to the other. Florida, we'll see how they're able to handle it. One of my concerns is that Miami and in Florida, this rapid outward migration is going to take an extraordinary amount of business risk, where a lot of these New York firms are moving into Florida, and they might keep their values with them. Something very important to keep in mind. So excellent question. Congratulations. You win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Let's get to the next question. The Chinese coronavirus has changed so much in our country, and that means people are spending more time in their homes and they value their homes even more. So what does that mean for you and your family? And that means that you must protect your home against cybercrime and a crime called home title theft. There is an amazing service called Home Title Lock that protects your deed from being stolen. Your home deed can potentially be stolen by cyber criminals. The FBI calls this one of the fastest growing cyber crimes in the country. So protect yourself at HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Homeowners insurance and common identity theft programs don't cover this. Go to HomeTitleLock.com, promo code radio for 30 free days of protection. That's code radio at HomeTitleLock.com. Fred from Wisconsin asks, hey, Charlie, do you think Trump will run in 2024? If so, what are his chances? Congratulations. You win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. I don't know. As I mentioned, I met with him last week. I encourage you to check out that episode where I summarized my meeting with the president, which the episode is literally called My Meeting with President Trump. I don't think it's as important as what he talked about in his speech. What is the Republican Party going to stand for? Are we going to reform our elections? And are we going to challenge big tech? And so Trump 2024 is something that is worth entertaining. I think that if the president in some ways was more focused on the message and less on personal fights, he would do a lot better. And that's not to say that I think he necessarily does anything that would alienate voters. However, I think it's fair to say that a lot of people in 2020 did not vote for him strictly because of style, not because of substance. That was one positive takeaway I took from his speech, was how focused President Trump was on creating a case against Joe Biden. I think it's very positive and something that I think he will be in a better position politically the more he focuses on the separations of actual implications of policy more than anything else. So we'll keep a close eye on Trump 2024 if he runs. He's going to be a very frequent guest here on the Charlie Kirk Show. If he doesn't run, I'm sure he's going to be very involved in that candidate selection. But none of that matters if we do not fix our elections. And we've gone into great detail about that. And the next question I want to answer is actually on that. It's Michael from Michigan. He says, hey, Charlie, and congratulations, Michael from Michigan. You win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. Hey, Charlie, how do you best propose we fix our elections? And President Trump talked about this in his speech. And again, you can listen to the full speech at the other episode we just posted yesterday, where he talked about signature verification, turning it into election day, not election month. But most importantly, we must pressure our state legislatures. I said this in my meeting with President Trump. I think it is so critically important that President Trump pressures our state legislators to reform our elections so that people have a trust in the selection of our leaders. Let's get to the next question here. Hi, Charlie. My name is Michael, and I'm a student at West Virginia University. I'm a big fan of the show and a daily listener. I'm curious if you have heard about the situation regarding the New York Rangers and their star player, Artemi Panarin. A Russian newspaper recently published a story alleging that Panarin got into a physical altercation with an 18-year-old female in 2011. Panarin, of course, has denied the allegations, and the Rangers have his back, but he is taking a leave of absence at the moment. Panarin has been a critic of Vladimir Putin and has shown support for Alexei Navalny, which you have mentioned on your show before. What are your current thoughts on this story? Also, should I join my school's Turning Point USA chapter? Thank you for all you do for our country, Michael. Well, first of all, Michael, I have not heard this story, and so I probably butchered the pronunciation of Panarin, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Russian government was behind such leaking of a story, because if you dare question Vladimir Putin, who is a thug, then they will come after you. To answer your other question, should you join your Turning Point USA chapter? Of course, you should join your Turning Point USA chapter. And this actually goes to a different point, Michael, that I want to make. And congratulations, you win a signed copy of the MAGA Doctrine. And thank you for emailing us at freedom@charliekirk.com. We have a great chapter at West Virginia University. And by the way, if you are on campus right now and you say, boy, I am just so upset with what's happening around the liberal nonsense. Maybe you're in high school. Maybe you're in college. Maybe you're a parent and you want to do something about it. TPUSA.com. Go right now to TPUSA.com. But it goes to a deeper point that I was thinking about this weekend. And I tried to do hours and hours of study and scholarship every night. But on weekends, I really do at least 5 hours a day of just reading the great books and reimmersing myself into Aristotle or just different points of history that I think will be most helpful in trying to analyze and give wisdom, which of course is the knowledge of all things eternal, to what's happening right now. And I do my best with that. And one thing I stumbled across was a Victor Davis Hanson discussion where Victor said in passing, he said, China is cheering on the woke industrial complex in our country. I said, what a great point. And I thought to myself, Russia is as well. And basically, Russia, by doing this, by trying to invoke Me Too against an athlete who's a critic of Putin, China and Russia, and more so China, I think Russia's an annoyance. I'd love to have a detente with Russia and work with Russia against the Chinese Communist Party. And I think it presents a very obvious point, which is that China's new nuclear weapon against the West is not a military or nuclear approach. It's not a thermonuclear approach. It is instead fomenting and supporting the race, class, and gender wars here in America. You see, the race, class, and gender wars will be the only reason China dominates the next century. China cannot beat us militarily. We will defeat them if it comes to that. It will not be easy. It would not be without massive sacrifice, but China doesn't want that. Instead, China is doing exactly what happened at the end of World War I. At the end of World War I, and we talked about this in our episode last week, The Top-Down Revolution Explained, and I encourage you to check it out. It's been one of our best performing episodes. Boy, I'm promoting a lot of episodes because we put a lot of work into them, but this one in particular is very good. We're at the end of World War I, basically the Eastern and the Western Front, which of course was the Austria-Hungary Empire and the British coalition force of what would be called the Allies, but it really wasn't that pure and simple in World War I, but basically trench warfare and chemical warfare just had the war being fought within 30 square miles. There was very little movement, a lot of death, a lot of suffering, a lot of civilian collateral damage. And basically, as a strategy to end on the Eastern Front, a man who was in prison by the name of Vladimir Lenin was released from prison, sent to Russia to actually start what is now known as the Communist Revolution as a way to weaken the strength of the Eastern Front, and ended up working. It was slow and then sudden, or gradually then suddenly, to use an Ernest Hemingway phrase. But Vladimir Lenin was basically able to do more damage against the Eastern Front internally than any sort of weapon could have possibly done at the time. And I think that China is employing a similar strategy against the West and against America, is that China's new strategy against America is not going to be invading San Diego or dropping missiles on Seattle. Instead, China's strategy is going to be supporting and getting behind BLM Incorporated. Instead, China is going to be supporting people like Robin DiAngelo. Instead, China is going to be getting behind Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. China knows that their world domination will be made possible by strengthening the woke industrial complex. I think we need to talk about this more. That China's new nuclear weapon was not developed by splitting the atom. China's new nuclear weapon was not developed by some scientific breakthrough. Instead, they think they'll be able to destroy us all by supporting the social justice woke activists within our country, which will weaken us and it will bring down our resolve, which is one of the arguments I have for Donald Trump staying in the public eye. And I know there's plenty of people that listen to our podcast. I see your emails that do not care for Donald Trump. They want the page to be turned on Donald Trump. And I think some of the criticisms of my friend Donald Trump are not necessarily invalid. I think some of them are saying that Donald Trump is mean to his critics. He needs to focus more on policy, which again, if you listen to his last speech here, I think some of those criticisms are less valid than they were previously. However, one of the arguments I have for Donald Trump staying in center view, for him staying center stage, is that he keeps the pro-American argument at a very high and significant and legitimate platform. It keeps the pro-American message within the zeitgeist, which means the spirit of the times, more prominent than ever before. So I think that is a good argument for Donald Trump staying in politics, at least for the time being. And if he runs in 2024, he'll be a very formidable candidate. It is his nomination. Quite honestly, he's earned it. If he wants it, it's his. Presidents have won non-consecutively before, Grover Cleveland. But if China is serious about taking us over, they would have to get that sort of an argument, that sort of a movement, completely stifled. That is why Donald Trump staying front and center actually buys us some time against the Chinese Communist Party's new nuclear weapon. I'm very excited to talk to all of you about a new book out from my good friend Jim Holden. And the new episode is out. You guys should listen to that episode. Best-selling author, Turning Point Endowment board member, and my dear friend. Selling in an Anxious World is Jim's fifth book on selling strategies and best practices. This time, Jim brings together research and science with many examples to dramatically improve business-to-business sales campaigns for important deals. It's a fantastic book, and you actually go beyond winning deals to actually impacting the things you care about most. Jim goes through it piece by piece, and I can tell you, I've read this book. It's a great book. Jim encourages readers to start their own careers by outperforming others to accelerate career growth and be more fulfilled in their work. It's a must read. I had the great honor of contributing a chapter to Selling in an Anxious World. You heard me speak about the culture war in America. Turning Point USA has brought the love of our country and God to education, our churches, and now Jim has brought it to corporate America to help businesses and people be successful. It's socially responsible. It's a socially responsible book for people who want to lead and not just follow. Get Selling in an Anxious World and see for yourself. It's a guide to success that you can then share with a friend through a special Turning Point offer of buy one, get one free. Go to sellingcharlie.com. That's sellingcharlie.com and use the special code Turning Point. That's sellingcharlie.com. If you are in business or if you're looking for direction in your life, go to sellingcharlie.com. Use the special code Turning Point. Okay, let's get to another question here. Antoinette Aho, who is the Turning Point USA High School coordinator for the Sierra Territory, and I apologize if I mispronounced your name. Mr. Kirk, your work is admirable and your spirit is unmatched. What drives you forward? Also, how do you maintain the energy to fuel a lifestyle like yours? Thank you for motivating the conservative movement. We wouldn't be where we are without your leadership. Have a great week. Thank you so much. That is so kind. That actually means more to me right now than I could possibly tell you. And thank you for being involved with Turning Point USA. And she has a great Turning Point USA title, a Turning Point USA high school coordinator. So everyone listening should get involved with Turning Point USA, tpusa.com. What drives me forward? The more I learn, the more I read, the more I listen, the more I ask, the more I realize how lucky we are to live in the United States of America. It is the greatest experiment in civil government in the history of the planet. And we're on the verge of screwing it up voluntarily, and I will not be witness to the voluntary suicide of the West. If they destroy us, so be it. We will not do it voluntarily. If you study human history, albeit autodidactically, which means self-taught, or even as shortly as I have, which is just, you know, about a decade, you will realize that human beings are prone to screwing everything up. And once we screw it up, we want a dictator to take care of us. That's human history. A constitutional republic focused on liberty and God-granted rights is so rare, it is a gift from God. And what drives me forward? I can't remain still. It's just who I am. I'm restless. And ever since I started Turning Point USA, I've loved the idea space. I've loved motivating people towards action. I think everyone should be, in one way or the other, doing something that you believe contributes to a broader purpose. Look, if I was just involved in business, simply and strictly, there's not anything wrong with that. I'd probably make a lot of money and I'd have some really good business ideas and I'd work 14, 18 hours a day, but I wouldn't be fulfilling what I think is the most important thing for me. It's not the most important thing for everyone, which is macro change through micro action. And for me, I'm most focused on civilization preservation. That's the thing that really drives me. And then more so anything else, you say, well, what is the why in what you do? I believe everything a human being does matters. I think what you eat matters. I think every word you select matters. That is why we take what we say so seriously here on the Charlie Kirk Show. I think what you read matters. I think where you travel matters. I think who you marry matters. I think all of it matters. So I'm actually an anti-nihilist, which could be called a Christian. Nihilist believes none of your action matters unless it's a power struggle and it's all just a bunch of neurons and atoms colliding together, dust in the wind. The universe will deteriorate. What's the point? You might as well enjoy it. That, by the way, is the predominant viewpoint that is expressed on most college campuses. My worldview is the exact opposite of a nihilist, which is that everything matters. That every single course of action that you decide to embark on, including the little things, diet selection, text messages you respond to, it all is a reflection of your greater character. Now, Aristotle, who's just phenomenal, by the way, just unbelievable. And if you're not exposed to Aristotle, you're missing out. And by the way, I was missing out for most of my life. I was not taught Aristotle in public school. And I just recently, in the last couple years of my life, became even aware of Aristotelian logic and ethics. And so I'm by no means trying to talk down to anyone when I talk about this. I just can literally tell you from personal experience that I was missing out until I became aware of Aristotle. And I was rereading Aristotle's book on politics, which is phenomenal. But I was also rereading Aristotelian ethics. And it's directly consistent with the argument I'm making, which is basically, and I'm going to read actually from it. And it's the ethics of Aristotle. It's so phenomenal. And if any of you are out there and you're searching for meaning, you might be in a place of depression, listen to this carefully and maybe read this book. It really is the first ever self-help book. I begin the first thing he writes, which remember, Aristotle was a student of Plato, who was a student of Socrates, which are all part of Greco-Roman culture, which built the civilization that you're all in. Okay, let me read from this. And I try not to do too much deep philosophy. So I want to try to build a big audience. Again, I have a talent to try to bring a podcast audience down to a manageable size, to quote my pastor, Rob McCoy. But here we go. Every art and every kind of inquiry, and likewise every act and every purpose, seems to aim at some good. And so it has been well said that the good is that which everything aims. That first paragraph I could spend 6 episodes on. And Dr. Larry Arn from Hillsdale College has a phenomenal course on this, and he has been just so instructive in, quite honestly, opening up my eyes to this. But let me read one in this particular, that one sentence I just said. Again, this is from the Ethics of Aristotle, and it goes back to this question of what drives you the good should drive you. A common phrase we have talked about here on the show is that human beings are aiming creatures. If you're not aiming at something, then you're going to be meandering, you'll be in chaos and confusion, and you will be unhappy. Aristotle continues by saying, but a difference is observable among these aims or ends. What is aimed at is sometimes the exercise of a faculty, sometimes a certain result beyond that exercise. And where there is an end beyond the act, there is, the result is better than the exercise of the faculty. So basically he's arguing, and it goes on to say, what is good? What a great question to ask. What is the good? Is anything good? Or are we all just a bunch of clumps of cells meandering around the universe? If you live your life with the belief that there is good, then the next question should be, how do I find that good? Aristotle will argue throughout this book, and he did it many times. Again, this is the book that our entire civilization is built around, by the way. And so many colleges refuse to teach this. And if they teach it, they teach it by saying, oh, Aristotle was pro-slavery. Not true. That is a incomplete and quite honestly unfair summary of the greatest philosopher, in my opinion, Aristotle. Every time you make a choice, it puts a mark on your soul. You are a reflection of your choices. And that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. That's why the grace of Jesus Christ is so important. However, if you believe that the good is worth pursuing, eventually the ultimate hierarchy of the good will lead you to Christ. Aristotle then says the highest level that you can aim at, or the purpose, which is actually a Greek word called telos, which is where we get the word telescope from, purpose, something out in the distant, something you can see, something that you want to aim for, something that eventually you want to get to, the telos, it's actually my new favorite Greek word, is something that you should be reminded of every day. And so for me, my telos, my purpose, is trying to preserve the civilization that was given to us. Big picture. I might not succeed. The big picture, the telos, the purpose, the out there moonshot is maybe this gift we have been given can actually be handed down a couple more times. Maybe not. I am perfectly willing to admit that we might fail. But I refuse to allow the possibility of failure to be an excuse for inaction. And so when all of you say, you know what? My purpose is that, Charlie, but I got to feed my kids and I got to go to work. And I'm going to help you by supporting you at charliekirk.com/support, for example. Then you are playing a role in that ultimate purpose, that telos. And that is a moral thing to do. And by the way, I want to thank you again for doing that. But to answer the question, what drives you forward? What a great way to just phrase that question. Drive and forward. Notice she says what she doesn't say what drives you backward. It's great diction. It's great word selection. If you have at least some understanding that the good is something worth pursuing, you will be in the 1% of the 1% of people on this planet, and especially amongst people in our generation. And then you ask yourself the question, okay, there's the good, there's humans. Well, then how do I live a good life? Welcome to the party. You're going to spend your whole life mostly trying to figure that out. So to know the road ahead, ask those coming back. Most importantly, ask those that have lived full good lives and learn from those people and try your best to replicate it. You're going to screw it up, but then improve once you do. The other part of your question is, well, how do you get the energy to do what you do? I'm naturally a high energy person. I eat very carefully. My team's laughing right now as I say this. I try not to eat any carbohydrates. I do love pizza. I love bread. I love cheese. But I really do my best to eat all greens and all meats. You just get more energy when you do that. And I love hot sauce. I drink more water than I think any other human being in the state of Arizona or Florida does. And those things directly contribute to living with more energy and therefore a happier and fuller life. I am a big believer that diet, by the way, is a massive contribution to mental state of mind. Massive contribution. And so anyone out there might be feeling a little down, fix your diet and then fix your sleep schedule. I actually think God wants us to sleep when it's dark and be awake when it's light. So that's a long answer to that question. Thank you for getting involved with Turning Point USA, but I'm happy to do a deeper episode on philosophy. I don't want to bog it down too much, but I really am a big believer that every action you make is a reflection of your soul, and your character is exactly that. So thank you for your question. Let's get to the last question here. Brian from Florida. Charlie, you talk a lot about Florida. I live here. I love it. But my friends in California say that they're doing much better when it comes to the virus. Can you give me some statistics to prove this? Thanks so much. Well, first of all, Florida is the second oldest state in the country and the third largest state. And California per capita has more virus deaths, infections, and severe hospitalizations with having their schools closed. Those are some good top level numbers, but just the movement of people is the best argument you can make. And so happy to dive into that in more episodes of The Charlie Kirk Show. But I think we've covered that thoroughly. Thank you guys so much for listening here. It's a great episode. If you guys want to listen to more every single day, we're on over 150 radio stations across the country. And by the way, if you want us to be on your local radio station, call your local radio station manager and say, we want the Charlie Kirk Show. Maybe you have a big conservative station and you want to hear us on the radio every day. Call your local radio station and say, we want the Charlie Kirk Show. It would make a very big difference if you guys want to hear more of us. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And again, thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. God bless you guys. Thanks so much. Live a full, good life. We'll keep on exploring what exactly that means. We live in the greatest country ever to exist in the history of the world. Let's do our part to help save it. God bless you guys.